The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to the servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do.'"
As you know, we are in the Gospel of Luke. And as you know, one of the main themes of Luke's Gospel is the theme of journey. And we're in this section of the Gospel that's called the journey narrative, where Luke is teaching his community what it means to be a disciple. So last week, we had that parable about the poor man at the door of the rich man, and we talked about how the rich man thought it was okay to step over the poor man and be sheltered and fed and clothed, while the poor man stayed outside with sores, naked and hungry. And we called that, for those who are visiting, we call that the seriously parable. Because the rich man thought that was okay, and Father Abraham said to him, "Seriously? You really thought that that was okay? Seriously?" And so, needless to say, many people felt rather uncomfortable hearing that, which I don't know how any of us could not feel uncomfortable. Someone put in the collection, it was really funny, they wrote me a note. I love people. Anyway, they wrote me a note and said, "You know, Father Phil, I came to go to Mass, not to listen to MSNBC. And I thought, well, you know what, you got it, because as I've told people, Luke is the MSNBC of the four Gospels, Matthew is the Fox, Mark is the CNN. So they definitely got Luke's message, if that's what they felt, and I thought that was great. At least they got it. They got Luke, right? We may or may not like Luke, but he's got an agenda. His whole agenda goes with his mission statement, which is to bring glad tidings to the liberty to let the oppressed go, to bring sight to the, and announce a year of favor. Aren't they smart? They're so good. Okay, so we know that he's got an agenda. Now, certainly that was a rather, I don't know, upsetting parable. Now, right after that parable, you see, when the church picks out these lectionary readings, the gospel readings, they sometimes leave out some stuff. And sometimes you just got to know what this gospel is in response to, because otherwise you're really taken out of context. So we just heard this very upsetting parable, which some of us might have said, "Oh my gosh, I don't have enough faith to do that." Right? Okay. So then Luke goes on and he says, right after that, he said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, you think? But woe," Luke, as we talked about last week, Luke doesn't beat around the bush. He gets right to the point. He says it rather clearly. "But woe to the person through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, then for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard." Now listen to this. This is the real kick in the rubber parts. "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repeats, forgive him. And if he wrongs you seven times in one day and returns to you seven times saying, I am sorry, you should forgive him. Seven times. Obviously not Italians. Okay. So seven times in one day. And you should forgive him seven times. It's like every other hour, you know. And you should forgive him seven. Now, obviously, seven means infinity, but still, even if it doesn't mean infinity, seven times is a lot. And so as they hear this parable about the rich man and what's going to happen to the rich man was blessed. He had clothes, he had food, he has a house. We find out he wasn't so blessed after all. In fact, he was the opposite of blessed. Anyway, and now we hear you have to forgive your brother seven times if he comes back to you seven times. And so that's where we pick up today. Because the disciples are saying, you've got to be kidding. And so St. Luke now doesn't address this to the disciples. If you notice when the deacon read it, he addressed it to the apostles. Now, apostles are those disciples who have a mission. And they're the ones now being sent, right? Apostle means sent. And so now they heard this parable. They heard that they got to forgive seven times they come back to you. And now you're the ones who are being sent to bring that message. Just a few weeks ago, those of you who are visiting, we had Back to Church Sunday. And I asked people to invite people to church, to invite their doctor, to invite their home care person, to invite their neighbor, to invite their server, to invite the person in the elevator in their condo, to invite their neighbor. And people said, you gotta be kidding. Being sent to invite people? Oh my goodness gracious me, oh my. And so what was the response? I don't have enough faith to do that. I don't have enough faith to hear that story about the rich man. I don't have enough faith to forgive my brother seven times a day. I don't have enough faith to go out and preach this to the world. So, Lord, increase my faith. That's how today's gospel began, with those words. I don't have enough faith. I can't do it. I don't got enough faith. Give me more. You want me to do this? You got to give me more faith. And Jesus responds, or Luke responds, if basically you got enough faith, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you got more than enough faith to do what I've just asked you to do. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do the impossible. You can say to this mulberry tree, which has roots that go way into the... Did you ever try to pull out a tree with big roots? Not a palm tree, but a tree with roots. You got to get one of those stump grinder machines, you know? Anyway, so it's like next to impossible to uproot a mulberry tree. But you have more than that. Increase your faith. You got plenty of faith. More than enough. You have more than a mustard seed. All you need is a mustard seed and you can do the impossible. You got more than enough faith. Now, what does Luke mean by faith? So, we have to ask ourselves, what is faith? Well, we have to remember in Luke's gospel, it's Luke's gospel where Mary says the fiat, which is the yes, right? Mary says yes. Her response to God is yes, okay? So for Luke, what faith is not belief. We tend to think faith means I need to believe. No, these people believe enough. They believe. Faith is our response to God. Faith is how we say yes to to God in our lives. That's what faith is. So, St. Luke is telling his community on their journey to learning how to be a disciple is, you got enough faith, you just need to say yes to it. You need to do what you are obliged to do. You need to say yes and live it. Not so easy, is it, Joby? No, not at all. But that's what he's telling his disciples. Now, obviously, his disciples need to hear a parable. We need to hear the same parable. Because we hear the story which says, well, who amongst you would say to your slave after they've worked all day in the field, come inside and sit down and let me wait on you? They're the slave, okay? The slave doesn't get to sit down and have dinner with us, okay? The slave, we tell the slave, you need to serve us. That's what your slave is supposed to do. They're expected to do that. And we hear, well, why doesn't the slave owner say thank you or appreciate it? Because the slave is only doing what they are obliged to do. Ugh. Ugh. Do we hear what Luke is telling his community? I remember one time, it was at a 4 o'clock mass, it was last year, and this couple, they sat in, you know, we're guaranteed to sit in the last row, and the guy there had the man, sometimes I pick on women, but this was the man, he had a real sourpuss on. You know, I think people don't think I can see them, like in Kentucky, I see you, okay? They think, you know, you're watching TV and I don't see you, you know, when the guy, mass started, the guy looked at his watch, I'm like, oh, we start on time. Anyway, so I see you, you know, don't think I'm blind, okay? So he had a real sourpuss on, so it was before mass, and like he had a sourpuss on, so I was just trying to like maybe like, soften him up. I said, hey, you know, are you doing okay? So he folded his arms. And I said, are you cold? Because we have blankets. Okay. Or are you angry? And he said, he really had a sourpuss then. He said, we've been traveling all day. You should be grateful we're here. I was like, oh, all righty then. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand me, because I don't need to read any more emails. I got enough. But I am not saying that certainly we don't appreciate each other at church, and certainly we're the body of Christ, and we're glad to be here, and I certainly appreciate you being here, Joe. It's all good. But at the same time, what's wrong with that attitude? We're obliged to worship God. Why do we think that this is, you know, you're doing me a favor? You're not doing me a favor. You're not doing God a favor. It's what you're obliged to do. It's what you're supposed to do. We want to be thanked to do what you're supposed to do? Something's not computing. Sometimes we have people, I know this is hard to believe, but we have people who volunteer. You know, wonderful. But, you know, but you have to get fingerprinted if you're going to volunteer in the school. Well, why should I have to? You should be grateful that I am volunteering in the school. I'm like, well, I am grateful. But no, you need to volunteer in the school because God gave you gifts and talents that you're obliged to use. In fact, I think we need to get rid of the word volunteer. Because it's not optional. The word volunteer implies that it's optional. You know, it's optional to do ministry. It's optional to visit the sick. It's optional to feed the hungry. It's optional to work for justice. It's optional. And so I'm going above and beyond what I'm supposed to do, and it's out of the goodness of my heart. Have you got it wrong? We are all called to ministry. It's not, does it mean we like doing it? Trust me. But we're obliged to do it. You think, you know, Debbie likes to every week get in Georgia, every week chop the cheese, bring the crackers, and Mary. You think it's fun? It's not fun every week. Okay, she has fun. Anyway, so, but we're obliged. We're obliged to use our gifts and talents. God gave them for a reason, not for you to hoard them. Well, I'm retired, so I'm using my gifts and talents on the golf course. That's all I'm going to do. And if I give any time to church, it's voluntary. No, it's not. Same with giving to church. You know, oh, Father Phil, you know, a millionaire especially. The millionaires are the strangest ones, you know. Father, you know, I gave $100 at Christmas. You didn't send me a thank you. I'm like, I'm not going to send you a thank you. If you think I know what you all give, I barely know your names. I'm not going to, after Mass, go look at, oh, see what they gave last week. I got better things to do with my time than, but if you're given because you think I'm going to know what you gave, are you in for a rude awakening? Because you're giving because, not only because you used the lights, You got the floor got clean, so when you got here, there wasn't all crud everywhere. Not only because you used it, but because you're obliged to support the community. When we were young, they used to tell us that. Remember? It was like one of the seven things that the church said you had to do. We don't talk in those terms because people want to hear, I'm obliged. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody got time for that. But we're obliged. It's what we're supposed to do. Oh, invite people to church. Father Phil, I invited 3 people to church. That's all? Don't expect a gold star from me. I'm going to say, that's all? Only 3? What's wrong with you? You're lazy. What kind of servant are you? You should have invited at least 3 people to church. I mean, it's not optional, folks. It's obligatory. We don't like that word, obligatory, because we don't want to do nothing. And we want to just like, oh. So we hear this story where Luke reminds his community that we are servants or slaves of the gospel. Boy, have we mixed that up. You know how many people think that God is there to serve them? They do. They think if I, you know, rub the magic beads enough, if I say the right magic prayers, then God will do what I tell him to do because he's there to serve me. You know, oh, I want a better job. Make that happen, God. You know, oh, I want you to, you know, fix my spouse. They're a mess. Go ahead, God, fix everything. Oh, God, yeah, we care about, you know, refugees. God, you take care of them, God. You know, you do it. You serve us. How did we, you know, you're, who's a lifelong Catholic, an old Catholic here? Joe, you're a Catholic, right? What did we learn? Why did God make you? To know, love, and serve him. God didn't make you so that God could serve you. How did that happen? When we learned, when we were in second grade, why did God make me? To know, love, and serve him in this life and the next. Somewhere we switched that all around. All of a sudden, God was there to serve us. And when he doesn't, I'm not going to church no more. Because he didn't do what I told him to do. We're Italian. We turned the statue around. You didn't do She laughs because she knows. Right, Tony? You know, you didn't do what I told you to do. We're gonna make St. Joseph face the corner. We used to have in the corner of the room, you know, St. Anthony, St. Joseph, the candle. Yeah, we used to turn them around because you didn't do what we told you to do. Well, we got it wrong. We turned it backwards. Today, Luke reminds his community, and he reminds us. And he says it, you know, Luke doesn't miss words. He says, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what we were obliged to do.